Gin House Blues by Nina Simone. Now, Australians love a larrikin, as we mentioned before, and this seems to flow on to a new gin bearing the name, which is being produced in Ballarat, one of the two major gold-producing towns in Australia of the 1850s. So I don't mind the odd gin, and I set out to discover who was behind this cheeky spirit, this larrikin gin. And I talked to one of the founders, a distiller, Chris Pratt, earlier today. Welcome to Travel Writers Radio, Chris.
Thank you, Graham.
Now, a larrikin, I've explained to our listeners what a larrikin is, a peculiarly Australian concept, I think, although maybe there's others with the same concept but with a different word. How come you decided to call your gin larrikin? Are you just being cheeky or what?
Well, yeah, a bit of cheekiness, and I think we're just a bunch of larrikins. We take our gin seriously, but we might not take much else seriously. Larrikin really is reflects the Australian spirit, and that's what we're about. Gin is a good Australian spirit, the way we produce it. So
in every sense,
together.
In every sense of the word, I can understand that. So, why gin? Why not beer or wine or whiskey? What was gin something you have a particular affinity for, you two?
Well, actually, when you say why not beer, my partner and fellow distiller, Scott, he is actually a brewer to trade and continues to brew. He has a separate business, a brewery.
Right.
We got together because we were keen to distill, and when we started looking into it, whereas we are actually laying down spirit for whiskey, gin just offers so much. It's a very rewarding spirit to distill. It's challenging but rewarding because once you've addressed the juniper leaf and the flavour, there's this whole range of other botanicals you can use, and the nice thing about it is, you know, at the end of the day, whether you've got it right or not. So
it's
a very interesting spirit to distill.
So when you talk about it being right at the end of the day, you literally can taste it at the end of a day's brewing, a day's distilling, can you?
Yes. So we distill in small batches. It takes 8 to 10 hours, and we extract all the flavours by forcing the vapour from the alcohol water mix through the botanicals. And you can't taste it as it comes out because the botanicals release flavours at different points in distillation, but at the end of the day, you have your gin.
Fantastic. So a bit of trial and error initially, I gather.
We like the fancy term of product development.
You are all American. So now you.
But there was a fair bit of that went on, I can tell you.
Well, that's okay. That's and obviously you have to taste it in the process, so that's allowed too. Not a bad job where you can drink on the job, eh?
It's a hard task, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. We tasted at various alcohol levels as well, so right from the 70% it's coming out at to bringing it back to 42% for the bottles.
Right. So do you you use local Australian botanicals? I mean, juniper's a legal part of it, really, isn't it? Or a conventional element you must include?
Yeah, we're not regulated so much in Australia, but Europe, for example, is. And the one requirement for gin is that the predominant flavour is juniper. And I think if you've not got that there, you really have not got a gin.
Yeah.
And the other interesting thing is a lot of people aren't aware that the other main ingredient of gin, almost all gins, is coriander seed. Provides a bit of balance to the juniper. But once you've got that, and we do have to import those too, unfortunately.
Right.
For our original larrikin, which is an Australian gin, the other seven botanicals are all Australian sourced. So
what sorts of things are you talking about going in there?
Well, we have three myrtles. We have lemon, cinnamon, and anise myrtle.
Mm-hmm.
We then use rose wattle seed, pepperberry, river mint, and lily pillies.
Okay.
Fresh lily pillies, which are a wonderful fruit, small fruit, taste terrific, and they do add to the gin.
And I've got to be honest, for our international listeners, not many of us would have tasted those Australian botanicals. Because they tend to sit on trees out in the middle of nowhere, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, the myrtles, they're not something you're going to put in a stew, really, to be honest.
No.
Or maybe you might like a bay leaf. But,
yeah.
But for us, where we're just extracting the flavors from them, they're ideal. And indeed, lemon myrtle has a beautiful citrusy flavor, but it's a very dominant flavor. So that was one of the things that came up in our so-called product development, where the first runs with our Australian really just tasted too much of the lemon and
right.
had to back it off.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yes, the... But things like lily pillies, a lot of people in Australia, never mind overseas, who grow them in the garden and don't realise they're an edible fruit. And,
yeah.
And taste really good. So.
Yeah, well, I know birds eat them, so there should be a hint there.
Yeah. And one of the things we are very keen to do is to try to educate people a bit more about the wonderful flavours that are around them. So some of them are local to us in Ballarat, the river mint we get locally. The lily pillies we pick from Scott, my other distiller's garden. So, yeah,
okay. You don't have to go and raid the local botanical garden.
Not for the gins, but let me tell you, there was a funny little story about the beer there when we were trying to do a Scottish style beer, given my Scottish background with Scott, and we wanted to use a particular pine instead of hops to flavour it. I spent ages searching and finally tracked down a tree, and ironically, it was in the Ballarat Botanical Gardens.
So what did you, hop the fence at night and climb the tree and
we did it all legally. We got permission to collect some fallen branches.
Okay. Well, that's all interesting. Now, you've mentioned one gin, but I think you make three or four, don't you?
Yes, we typically have four, and then we do limited releases. So we have the one we've talked about, which is the
Original
Larrikin.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have one that we call the Scoundrel. It's London Dry, and scoundrels hang around England, I'm sure.
Oh, I think there's a few here, too.
Aye? Well, one, yes.
Maybe one or two in America.
Perhaps, yeah. And so that one is more in the traditional keeping of the botanicals tend to be more spice-based.
Yes.
Things like cinnamon, green cardamom. We also put brown cardamom in it,
mm-hmm.
angelica, orris, and we include some fresh oranges and a lemon in the installation. So it's got a lovely citrusy note on the front palate.
Yeah. Okay.
Then the next one is the Buccaneer, which is our Navy Strength. And Navy Strength, by convention, are at least 57%, so that's where ours sits. And it's very similar to the London Dry, but we did increase the juniper and put some limes in it to help balance out the higher alcohol.
And
it's remarkably smooth for that level.
And is the Navy Strength drink, is that meant to be, it doesn't sound to me as though the naval people would have had tonic and stuff there. They would have been having it neat, wouldn't they?
More than likely, yes.
Right.
And it came straight out of a barrel, so it wouldn't have been the refined gin that we are used to.
No. So do you recommend it as a sipping gin, as distinct from a mixer?
All of our gins can be sipped, and what we actually recommend people... Well, the bottom line is we recommend people drink their gin as they like it, but we do encourage people at events where we're running master classes or at the cellar door here, we really encourage people to take a little sip of gin on its own first.
Yeah.
Because you learn a lot about it, and you can start to pull out flavors, and that gives you ideas for your garnishes. But the one thing about that is when you sip, you have to take a small sip, and you have to hold it in your mouth a little longer than you might do with a beer or a wine, because the higher alcohol, it just takes your mouth a little longer to work it.
Right.
But if you do that, you pull out some wonderful flavors.
Okay.
Just terrific.
Well, those of us who are doing this low-carb thing would probably appreciate that, because gin itself's not high in carbs. It's only when you start throwing tonic and stuff in that you get into trouble.
Yeah.
So that's a good idea.
And pick your tonic as well. Pick your tonic. Pick a good one, a quality one.
Yeah, well, I don't know, with all these new fever things that are on the market, are they better than the old traditional Schweppes we used to go for or not?
Well, what we find is Schweppes and some of the other big main ones have been around for a while. They tend to be sweetened more than would be the case for gin. And indeed, we're finding that some bars now are providing gin and sonics, which is half tonic, half soda. And really, that's countering that sweetness that you get in the dispensers with the syrup. So we go for a Victorian, Australian Victorian product.
Which is...
But there are some other excellent ones, and it is worth paying that little bit extra to get a good tonic.
What's the local one called, Chris?
Cappy, C-A-P-I.
Oh, yes, I've tried, I think they did a ginger beer or something at one stage.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Graham, because we actually sell quite a lot of gin and ginger beers. They're Cappy ginger beer. And that goes down really well with people who don't like tonic.
Okay. Oh, well, it sounds good. All right. Yeah. Well, are you entered in international competitions and things, or are you just doing your own thing up there in Ballarat?
Oh, a bit of both. We did enter into one last year, and we were very pleased because it was early days, and we came away with, I think, 3 bronzes.
Okay.
So it's, you know, moving up from there. We're in a local competition that's being run in February in Sydney. So we pick in carefully which ones we think will be worth entering.
Sounds fantastic. Now, if people...
But to us, really, the important thing is to produce gins that we believe are quality and that people give us good feedback on.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. If people want to get in touch with you or perhaps find out where to buy your gin, your website is...
is larrikingin.com.au.
No, Larrikin Gin, one word.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Well, Chris, thank you so much for talking to us at Travel Writers Radio, and good luck with being a larrikin.
I appreciate being invited on. Thanks very much, Graham. And
pleasure.
I'll continue with the larrikinism when we hang up.
Yeah, that was Chris Pratt of Larrikin Gin speaking there earlier today with me.